Welcome everyone, this is Piney Needles and you're listening to LOTRO Players News, where we take a look at the latest news in LOTRO and here at LOTRO Players. And this week we have with us, Andang!
Hey everybody!
Terry Edwin!
Hi!
And Carvette!
At your service, and your families!
And please welcome our special guest for this day, Stine of Stine Plays.
Hello!
And welcome, Stine. And we will begin with our usual hazing cycle of asking you how you got into Tolkien, how you got into the Lord of the Rings, and how you got into LOTRO, and finally how you got into the LOTRO community.
Well, it all started in 2009, I believe. I think I calculated back to 2009. I just got the 7-year frame, so I think that's 2009. My boyfriend was the one who got me into the game. That's when I got into LOTRO. And I was already into LOTRO, or Lord of the Rings already, because I read the books, I watched the movies, I read The Hobbit. I was totally entranced by the whole atmosphere of everything and the stories. It was just, elves and hobbits and dwarves and all that stuff. It was all good stuff. So when it comes to LOTRO, I started out in a very small kin on the server Eldar, which is no longer there. There were two Swedish guys, two brothers, who were the leaders of a little kinship called Myth. And Patrick, my boyfriend, was playing in there because his uncle was playing. So basically, Patrick convinced me to try LOTRO because he was playing it. And then I got hooked on LOTRO and he stopped playing. So it's that whole story of, yeah, when are you going to stop playing LOTRO and do something else? But I don't know. It was good. I enjoyed the game a lot. I think I quit playing LOTRO for a period when, I don't remember what year that was, it was maybe a couple years later, I had tried Moria, but I think I stopped right before Mirkwood came out, and then I had a break for a couple years. I played some different games, tried some other MMOs, all of that, and then all of a sudden I felt this little drag towards LOTRO again. I was smart enough to get the, lifetime VIP when that was available.
Nice.
So it was very coincidental that I decided to get it. I was a student at that point, and I had just gotten that, at the start of your semester when you get a huge chunk of money to pay the student loan and everything. And I had leftovers, so I decided, well, I might play this game for a while, so I'll get the lifetime and see how it goes. So I always had like a reason to come back, and I didn't have to put any more money into it, which was great. So I started streaming it. I think I started streaming like 3 or 4 years ago. I don't remember exactly. My user was created in 2011, but I think I got my first ever following 2013. And I was a very, very small streamer, did play a lot of different games. And then I think it was in 2015 when I first started playing Lord of the Rings Online regularly again. And what happens with, as I've seen with every single Lord of the Rings streamer, is, the same people come back into your stream, the same people come say hi, they say, oh, I'm on your server, do you want help? Do you want me to do anything for you? Do you want me to help you learn the game again? The LOTRO community sort of just pulls you in and wraps you in a blanket and treats you very well. So
that's
a
awesome.
Nice place to stay. And when more and more Lord of the Rings lovers came to my stream, it sort of felt like, this is a game that I like, and this is a game that I really, really enjoy streaming, so I'll just stay here for a while. And then it sort of took off for a bit. It went pretty fast. I really enjoy streaming LOTRO, mostly because of the community. I decided that I wanted to get out of the small kin that I was in as soon as, more and more of my followers wanted to play with me, and I was an officer in the kin, but the kin wasn't really active, and I thought, maybe it would be fun to make a kin of my own. And also with the server consolidation, Eldar was removed. We moved over to Eldar with my old kin, And then after a while, I told them, you know what, I want to try and make my own kin, and I'm going to build a kin based with my Twitch followers. That's my cat again. She's been a real naggy cat today, making a lot of noise, and of course she starts when I'm doing a radio show. That's just typical. So the kin has grown bigger and bigger, and we're mostly like, you know that point when you reach enough kinnies online so that it will be a scrolling kin, when you need to scroll to see all the players in the list, on the kinship list? It's come to that point now, and it's a lot of fun. We're always able to get enough people to do group content. We do a lot of deed runs. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So the kin is constantly growing, and I think it was the time when who was it? Freylorn, when he was still the community manager, I was watching the Lotro stream. I think I was watching Gussie, actually. I watched Gussie a lot, and I saw her on the Lotro stream, and I saw Bloodborne on the Lotro stream, and I saw I've completely lost names now. The one that does chickens rent. Chicken.
Oh, that's Aerithart.
Aerithart, that's it. I saw him on the Lotro stream as well, and I thought, well, maybe it would be fun to join. And it was that point when they were receiving applications as well. So I sent an email, and a lot of stuff was happening around that time. Cardovan became the new community manager pretty quickly. I had gotten the stream key and everything, and I started streaming, and then, yeah, it's just continued on from there. I really like the spot that I have on Lotro stream on Mondays. The community is amazing. I don't know. Yeah, it's like Gussie says, the community just sucks you right back in. It's hard to stop because you end up missing the community when you're not in there. And you play with them when you're on the stream and when you're offline as well. Yeah, it's really nice. Did I go through everything? I made like a small little list of things that I wanted to mention, and I think I touched on all of them, maybe. I got Twitch partnered on the 14th of December.
Congrats.
Thank you. It's still, I'm not sure it has dawned on me quite yet, but it's getting there. It's still pretty new, but it's very awesome. The community has given me so much support, and it's helped me a lot, really. Thank you, everyone who listens to this. You made me get the place that I am, and you're also the reason I'm having fun and continuing. So thank you for that.
All right. Thank you, Stina. And now let's head into the news for the game. And this week we had the 2017 producer's letter. So therefore, what is in the letter this time?
All sorts of stuff, Pineleaf. The letter starts out by saying hello, which is, you know, so surprising. Greeting there.
Sounds like a good greeting for a letter, you know? Hello.
Yeah. Yes.
Riveting news right there.
It is, yeah. People are shaking all over Miller.
Well, you know, it's got an exclamation point, so I'm guessing it does, they're really enthusiastic about their greeting, you know? Are we going to do a close read? Are we going to do it like Professor Tolkien style? Or Corey Olsen style? We're going to do a close read of the producer's letter to really dig into it, nuts and bolts.
Okay. The Corey Olsen version.
Yeah, the Corey Olsen version of the producer's letter. And I see what we see here. No, go ahead.
That's true.
We don't have 4 weeks to dissect this.
They then say it's with an apostrophe. No, I'm just kidding.
That's fantastic.
It's been a few weeks since we announced ourselves as Standing Stone Games, and we are now excited to share our plans for the year ahead with you. Firstly, we want to thank everyone for their continued support as we write some of Lotro's most exciting history. This is the year that Lotro ventures forth into Mordor. We currently expect to release the Mordor expansion in the summer, and we'll have a lot more information as we get closer to the day of its arrival. Carve, if you want to take the next paragraph.
Sure. Mordor in the summertime. Happy, fun summer. Just kidding.
Perfect time for a volcano.
I know, right? It's like, yeah, you want summer fun? Try Mount Doom. New SPF 2000 Mordor sunscreen. For those perfect weekend trips to Mount Doom. Okay. Prior to Mordor, we have two big things happening in Middle-earth. Update 20 and our 10th anniversary. We can't wait to celebrate a decade of Lord of the Rings Online with you. We'll be bringing out a new event that will serve as a fun centerpiece to complement the festival, along with the other usual fanfare. We are planning a lengthy celebration live stream on Twitch and YouTube to celebrate a decade of LOTRO. We will see you in the live stream chat and in-game. Really? A new event that's going to serve as the king, like the central focus for the anniversary celebration? That should be cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see what it is. Like, a giant firework, maybe, or something.
It'd be interesting to see what they come up with that would be, like, the new event, like, that's gonna serve as the centerpiece.
Is scaling Barad-dûr.
That would be something. Well, it'd have to be interesting, because normally they have all that stuff very, what do you call it? Low level, so that, you know, even new players into the game can jump into it really quickly. So it's usually right around level 10. So I'd be curious to see what they've come up with. Build a Mount Doom or something.
Well, you know, you get in battles at level 10 too. So
yeah, that's true. You could scale.
Cablet says there's going to be a new tablecloth steed.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
We had the ultimate tablecloth steed this year, though.
That picnic one? That picnic one?
Yes,
that one's fantastic. All right, who's going to read the next section? You want me to keep going? Oh, fine, go.
Update 20 will feature the region called the Wastes, where players will adventure through the bleak gnomon lands during dismal Daggerlad and up to the very slag hills of Mordor. We will also take players to the Battle of the Black Gate, Lord Aragorn's last desperate gambit to divert the enemy from the real threat. Delve beneath the earth through winding maggot holes in the Towers of the Teeth in two capstone resource dungeons that can be played in solo and fellowship modes. Finally, Update 20 will offer you a chance to help the various companies within the Host of the West prepare for the final confrontation with the Dark Lord. In addition, the update will feature a new featured instance rotation, among other things.
That's cool.
Terry?
With Update 21, we shatter the Black Gates and march into Mordor for our first expansion in nearly 4 years. In it, we will cover the fate of the One Ring and then embark on new epic tales, foraying into multiple regions of Mordor after the fall. There we will encounter strange new monsters, new mechanics, and new treasures to be won. We will begin whole new storylines that look deep into Mordor and hint at things yet to come. We are making plans to debut a new playable race, the High Elf, along with aesthetic improvements to all playable races across the board. We also plan to add large group challenge content in the ensuing update.
Update 22 will round out the year, and is far enough away that we'd like to keep its content under wraps for now. Let's just say that we have years' worth of plans for Lord of the Rings Online, stories to tell, lands to explore, and heroic deeds to be done. It remains an honor to be your executive producer, and we thank you again for your support, Sev.
I can't get excited about the High Elf. I just can't.
Well, I'm very curious to see what they do with it.
Well, Cordovan recently said, I don't remember if this was in an interview or if this was on his stream, but he said that there will not be a class with the High Elf.
Yeah, it's just going to be a race. I don't know. I think it would be really cool, and this is the thing that excites me most about the possibility of the High Elf, is if we can do Elven Captains.
That would be pretty cool.
Because it would make sense if Elves are, like, the High Elves are more the royalty Noldor types, then I could totally see a High Elf Captain in that aspect.
Yeah, I could as well. One thing I think is interesting is that they do say that there will be regions plural with Mordor, which makes me excited. where it sounds like that we already knew there was going to be a ton of content, but that kind of cements it a little bit more because, you know, region's kind of like a defined area where they do say, you know, update 20 will feature the region, whereas Mordor is going to have regions, so...
Well, that makes sense. Mordor is a big place.
It is.
Yeah. Oftentimes, if you don't really think about beyond Mount Doom, Barad-dûr, and the Black Gate, there's an entire land back there that supports the entire Wardor Mor machine. And so there's Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I love the fact that there's going to be strange new monsters in Mordor, because that's an area that the book really did not explore very much, and I'm excited to see what they come up with.
Yeah, that could be cool. Like, some of the crazy stuff we saw coming out of the Foundations of Stone. Who knows what
Hopefully
kind of...
a little bit more...
a little bit more lore appropriate than that?
More appropriate than
that. Well, I'm just thinking in terms of, like, you've got some of the aberrations that came out of Isengard, for example, with Saruman and his experimentation. Seeing more creepy things that are of the evil that, you know, we saw what happened to the Pale Folk in Carn Doom. What other kind of aberrations are going to come out, knowing that you're going into basically evil central in Mordor? You know, who knows? Yeah, who knows? I'm thinking it would be cool if we could see snuffler orcs. If you guys remember from the books, there was a particular breed of orc in Mordor that was the skinny ones that you kind of see in the landscape, but they had really big noses and they were sniffing trackers.
You said snuffler orcs, and I heard snuffle-upple orcs.
I'll take an Oliphant orc hybrid. Sure, why not? That's weird.
See is like what kind of crazy stuff they have in Barad-dûr, like down like deep in the dungeons of Barad-dûr and stuff like that.
I know, right? That'd be. Ooh.
There's so much potential. I'm really excited. I thought it was interesting that they didn't really say what they're actually going to be doing in Mordor. They left that kind of a secret. As far as like the actual areas we'll be going. But they do say that they'll cover the fate of the One Ring and then embark on new epic tales.
Yeah.
Does that mean we're going to be starting a total new epic story?
Well, you know, that would make sense. We hit Volume 5. We wrap up Volume 4, then we start Volume 5, if that's the way they want to go.
Well, and will it even be Volume 5? Will they just go on to something totally different?
Maybe. I don't know. There's a bunch of really cool things that happened post-destruction of the ring that would be neat to explore.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Also, they're adding, you know, those aesthetic improvements to the different races. I think it'll be interesting to see how controversial that might be, even if people have the option to switch back. It'll be interesting to see how people react to that.
I'm totally going to check it out.
But I think the biggest takeaway from this is just that 2017 is going to be one of the biggest years for LOTRO in a long time. We're having three updates, one of which is going to be an expansion that'll add in multiple regions. And so I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it's good time. It's funny and ironic that the good times on the horizon are some of the darkest the world's ever seen.
Oh, yes. The brightness we saw.
Oh, man, it's going to be so exciting. We're going into hell itself.
Yes. The brightness is an exploding volcano.
I know, right? I see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's a train called the Mount Doom Express!
I was talking with Brannick last night, and you know, one of the things they've been teasing is that there will be, you know, this power struggle in Mordor. One thing I hope they don't do is like have this power struggle go on, and then there's like the new Sauron, essentially, where it's like, you know, this new enemy that takes Sauron's place, and that we have to fight for like another 10 years. I'm hoping that they don't go down that path, but I am very excited to see what they do.
Well, did they ever resolve the issue with what's his bucket from the Angmar days? Mordorith?
I don't think so.
What, I'm Mordorith?
Yeah, Mordorith shows back up in one of those other epic books. Oh, come on. It's been a while. It's not that.
Come on. It's still considered a spoiler.
So that character from that one book that's...
That Carm totally did not just mention.
Yeah, not that guy.
I will presume that we will settle that for the end of Volume 4, but that's just a guess, of course.
Well, I mean, it would make sense that he would be another player in a power struggle. That particular character who should not be named, who is not wearing red armor with spikes on it or anything. Okay.
I don't actually think we have anything to worry about.
One thing I also liked is that, you know, Maid of Lions said that after the ring's destroyed, that's just the beginning of the game, essentially.
That's cool. There's a bunch of cool
stuff. I'm excited
to
see what Maid of Lions has up his sleeve. I really am.
Well, I mean, I think this is the first major anything we've seen that actually explores what happens after the ring.
Yeah.
Because I don't know a whole lot of stuff that really kind of...
I don't think that there has been, outside of, like, Tolkien's writing himself, I don't think there has been any adaptation that has actually looked to see what is going on after the destruction of the ring. At least it's not like, you know, fan fiction or something like that. And so I'm very excited. I mean, there's, you know, there's a good portion of the book post-ring destruction left of the third, you know, Return of the King book. And so
yeah, that's true.
You know, they have a lot to cover just from the books still, but I am interested to see what could happen moving forward, because essentially, you know, they could have just, you know, their own creations moving forward. They have been tied to the lore to some degree the entire time, and now they're going to be able to write their own stories.
Well, I mean, I like the idea of you hit the anthill and then the ants scatter. So when you destroy the ring and the power core, all these ancillary rulers that have basically been kept in check by this enormously powerful Sauron entity now run off and do their own thing in the world, and they try to establish their own mini kingdoms. And so who knows what you could invent out of that kind of environment.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the fall of the evil Roman Empire, essentially. Like, it's, you know, the dark version of the fall of the Roman Empire kind of thing. Although that is pretty dark in and of itself. But, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see everything that goes on and see if we'll see some old friends that might start with a J name and end with a Jax, and see if they come back and do things. I think would be pretty. Well,
that would be cool. We could chase them back to their native lands, for example.
Yeah, or if he'll be even involved in the power struggle somehow.
Yeah,
or something
there you
like
go.
That.
Who knows?
Any other comments on the? Let how about we've had a lot of talk about update 21. Anyone have any comments about update 20?
They're adding in those resource dungeons, and they did say elsewhere that they're not adding another crafting tier, and it sounds like that they're not going to be adding another crafting tier with the expansion either. They were kind of vague the way they said it, but it made it sound like that there's no plans for another crafting tier, period. So it just, you know, the worst thing that would happen is if in update 20 they release these resource dungeons, and then update 21 they're no longer important because now, you know, they have a new crafting tier that doesn't use those. So
really it looks like update 20 is going to add all of those dismal areas just to the north of Mordor that takes you right up to the very Black Gate.
Yeah, that's essentially it.
That's
everything
cool.
That connects between like the Dead Marshes and the Black Gate. And
yeah,
and
if I remember correctly, Emmon Mule is like to the north of that, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of zones that we've had previously should technically connect to the areas that they're adding in right now. So.
Yeah. It would have been cool if we had seen Emmon Mule, but I don't think I've seen it anywhere.
Do you think there'll be chicken runs to Mordor?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
They'll be totally taking chickens to Mordor. I don't know how that's going to work, but that would be like an all-day affair.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's... Now we know what feeds the... War Machine of Mordor.
Chickens. There you go.
Can chickens port to the new version of Minas Tirith?
I don't know.
Well, that's the rub.
I don't think so, because they can't use those horse thingies.
Yeah, so you might not be able to take a chicken to Mordor.
Oh, you might not be able to phase the correct layer to get to the new Mordor. That's a good point.
Or maybe just add a special chicken portal.
There's a chicken nest.
Chicken that you right-click
well,
on.
I mean, there's a specific nest that you have to go to port from one layer of the world to another. So you actually
don't worry, I'll take you. To Mordor that would be these horses.
The cluck time warp. This nest right here. That would make total sense.
Now, concerning the resource dungeons, they say that there will be two of them. But traditionally, when they have resource dungeons, there usually have been three. So. Are they going to have two different dungeons and they carry all three resources, or what?
I'm guessing it's more like for essences and stuff. It seems like resources aren't necessarily for like crafting, per se.
Okay, when they said resource dungeon, the first thing
no,
I thought
of... No,
they did
say it is related to crafting. There will not be another crafting tier.
Well, let's see. Well, I guess maybe each one of those dungeons has materials for any of the crafting, then.
Right, because traditionally resource instances only had one for one. And it...
Yeah.
All right, anything else before we go on? Then... Let's then head into, well, not store sales because they sort of had some trouble with the site this week, but I received a letter from Standing Stone concerning DDO, but apparently Andang had learned that there's a similar offer up for Lotro also, and what's this all about?
Yeah, Terry can take this. This is Terry's.
Okay.
But they are going to be giving us a free gift to anybody who is VIP between February 6th and March 13th. So if you're a current VIP, all you have to do is log into one character on your account during that time period. Or you can go VIP during that time period and log into one character on your account. Basically, it is a limited edition premium account-wide mount that you will be getting.
And it is awesome.
Which is a 68% speed. Base, you know, if you've got journeyman speed, obviously it's going to be 78%, and 250 morale, which includes the war steed appearance, so caparison, saddle, and halter, and will apply to all characters that are currently on your account and in the future that you make. It's an actually really good looking horse.
Yeah, this one has got a really nice kind of a very burnished gold saddle and armor stash across the top. It's got kind of like a white, not quite veneer, more like a white stitched horse blanket-ish kind of a thing, but it's tapered, so it's not like an actual blanket. It's got some really cool looking armor plating. There's like a swan crested top coming over
it's
the horse's head.
Steed.
It's not a swan knight steed, but it's got some really nice patterns to it.
It's
definitely
a
nice steed. But the fact that if you've ever thought about going VIP, go VIP at this time, because getting an account-wide steed that not only looks cool, is 68% speed plus 250 morale, that's just like gravy. Just, I mean, there's so much benefit to this.
Which, you know, applies to all of the characters that you make forever.
Yeah, so, I mean, just the idea that you can start a character and by 8th level, boom, horse. Or 20th level, or depending on how you want to do it.
Yeah.
Depending on how fast you get your writing skill.
Looks right. Kind of scale melee, also, the armor on the horse.
Yeah, it's definitely a steed that does not say, I'm a poor boy, nobody loves me. It's a steed that
doesn't scream, hey, I'm an elf either.
Yeah, it doesn't, which you kind of would almost think it would, consider it's the, what is it, the steed of... What do they
Eldar?
Call it? The Seat of the Eldar? Yeah, it doesn't scream, look, I'm an elf. I've got a little dangly fairy fountain or a fairy lantern on the back of my rump. Like a certain other steed. yeah.
Yeah, when I got the letter on from DDO where they were announcing that you'd be getting this, a hireling for their equivalent on that end, I was wondering, well, what would they do on the Lotro side for this? And of course, It only hit me when Terry brought this up that, oh yeah, of course, a horse. What else?
Yeah, it's nice.
Horse, of course.
A horse, of course, yes.
A nice horse, of course.
Right.
Still waiting for my Swan Knight seed, by the way.
Still waiting for that. Well, as you wait for that, I guess we'll head into the site news, and we'll begin with an announcement from Andang.
Yes, Pineleaf. I am actually going to be stepping down as the head of the Players Alliance, and Draculetta will be taking over as the head of the network. This will also be my final episode of Lucha Players News. And the reason I'm stepping away is just that I'm wanting to focus more on my YouTube channel. I don't have as much time as I used to, and I'm just not able to dedicate the amount of time I would like to really help the Players Alliance grow. And so instead of that, I'm going to be turning it over to Draculetta to be basically taking over and being able to hopefully help the Players Alliance grow more and, you know, just dedicate more time to it that it really does deserve. And I'd like to just thank everyone who's contributed to LOTRO Players. It's been absolutely amazing that we have, you know, over 50 volunteer writers on just LOTRO Players, let alone all the different podcasters and all, you know, the other people that dedicate their time every single week to help this network grow and really facilitate to the communities and help them grow. It's been absolutely an amazing journey, and I love doing it so much, but I just don't have the time to really dedicate to it anymore, and so I think it is time to move on, and I still will be doing, you know, my YouTube channel, and still will be a contributor to the LOTRO Players site as an author, and will, you know, occasionally write news articles and also, you know, share some of my YouTube content on there. So not going away from the LOTRO community, still going to be hopefully active in the LOTRO community, but I am stepping away from the Players Alliance Network, and I'd just like to thank, especially in particular, everybody on the call right now for having dedicated their time to the LOTRO community. Everyone on this call does so much for the LOTRO community, where, you know, Stine streams all the time for LOTRO stuff, and Carve is going to be stepping up on helping out with the podcast, and Pioneer's headed up the show every single week, which has just been fantastic. And Terry has been able to help me so many times with long phone calls, with Middle Earth lore, and with just basically whenever I need something, she's always been there. And so that's been absolutely fantastic. And Maven's been such a good addition to this show, even though she's not here tonight. It's just fantastic that she's been able to help out so much with just helping us really grow the show in a way that we weren't able to grow before, where we got a lot more lore notoriety in the lore community, and actually got a lot of people who really enjoyed the lore to start playing LOTRO, which was pretty cool. And then Forte is just an awesome person helping out with the music community, and he's been a nice addition to the show with a just fresh perspective, and really enjoyed having him on. And so, yeah, this is kind of goodbye, but I'm still going to be active in the LOTRO community and will be trying my hardest to make it back here for episode 200, which is going to be fantastic. So really excited about episode 200 coming up. But anyway, thank you everyone so much for everything you've done. It really does mean a lot.
All right, then let's head into our community events for January 27th through February 2nd. And first thing they're going to talk about, of course, is that this is around Chinese New Year. And with Chinese New Year, it is now the year of the chicken or rooster, I guess.
The year of the fire rooster.
So the year of the cooked rooster?
Yes.
But yeah. Cool. Well, it just basically makes room for a rooster run then. Now, as a matter of fact.
But in addition to rooster runs, what else is going on? Anyone have anything that they wish to highlight?
There's the Bree Lore Hall Ensemble, which is going to be taking place on Landerville at 2 p.m. on today, Saturday the 28th. And it is going to be a concert there, which is pretty cool. So I know that has already happened, but I'm sure it was awesome. And really looking forward to just see people take more advantage of the Lore Hall.
All right, that would be Lily Kate's ensemble?
I believe so.
Yeah, so that's I have cool. to remember to get over there. I decided to pass this week since we're doing our show early this week. And therefore, let's then go into Exploring Lord of the Rings, The Mantle. Speaking of Lily Kate Buggins here.
Real quick, Gumskang in the chat says, Drac is taking over. There goes our RNG. Yes, that's the okay. RNG might not favorably look on the network now. I don't know, but there you go.
Right.
But yeah, Lil Kate's done exploring the Lord of the Rings highlights, and pretty cool. Yeah, if you haven't been able to check it out live, be sure to check out these articles. They're pretty good.
And also exploring the Lord of the Rings, Beating the Bounds.
Oh, I gotcha. These are articles. Four of it. Okay, yeah. Yeah. These are really in-depth, man.
Yeah.
I think nobody's ever done such a long version, expanded, in-depth reading of the books, and then, hey, look, let's go on a field trip in a virtual environment of the books, and let me show you what I'm talking about. It's fantastic. I never get a chance to really watch them, and they're so long, it's like I don't have the time, but eventually I'll get to them.
Yeah, that's sort of the... That's the tricky bit, yes. Okay, now where's my time to do this?
Let's see. I have to take a long car drive, and I have to work out, and I'll get podcasting. Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, and now Arrow has brought some screenshots to find the funny in Middle Earth. And looks like some of the funny moments that he's run to while playing the game.
Oh, nice. I've been to some of these. Some really these are great.
I like the leaning on your imaginary friend one.
So all you gotta do is check out this article, because we're not gonna, like, basically spoil it for everybody. You just gotta go and check it out. Some of these are great. Great screenshots.
Is that Gandalf carrying Faramir?
It's like, you never know. There's all kind of crazy stuff in here.
Well, that sounds like something that would have happened at one point in the epic, right?
Yeah, but I don't think that is this time. I guess it is. But he's carrying it in a weird way.
Oh, okay. It doesn't look like the best way to carry Faramir.
No, it's not how I would carry Faramir. But...
Oh my goodness. Sorry, I just saw the picture you guys were talking about. That's funny.
And then we'll head into the family line, part 119, Trials of Elswith.
This story keeps going on and on and on. It's just so
long. Yes, family, Elswith, it might be involved in a trial when there's a line of a family.
Thank you. And we have a peek into critters. Now, whether that's a sharp point or a look, I'm not too sure yet. But help, I'm 105 guide. So therefore, critters, literal guide to being level 105.
Oh, man. It's a peek into a teaser.
Where critters is at.
It's a tease.
Because critters had planned to have a 105 guide out and got a little derailed.
Gotcha.
But it's back on track.
Okay. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, that's great, because I haven't the slightest clue about what to do if I ever get to 105. It's like, oh my gosh, endgame is so big. Where do I start?
What's endgame? By the time I get everybody up to 105, the expansion will be out.
I know. For me, it's like, I'm still 103. I haven't played in a while. So I'm like,
And we also have Chapter 17 of The House of Beorn, A Light in the Darkness.
Oh, can you bear it, Pineleaf?
Ouch.
It's great. I love this original content that just kind of filters out. It's fantastic. People work hard. And another series that I want to stick on my tablet and just kind of curl up and read.
And that is it for our site news. So that means that it is time to head on into our week in LOTRO. And Andang, what do you have to say for your final week in LOTRO?
Ah, that's sad, finally. I'm totally taken back. I did not expect you to say that, finally.
Make it sound like it's his last week ever in the game.
Okay, they're revoking his account.
Sounds to be like he's about to die.
I know.
He's going to sail the ship to the west, and he will be missed.
And then the ship will crash and burn. And
no, then it'll just turn around, because somehow the Psyops have got to get back to Middle-earth.
Well, yeah, that is true. And I did make a video reacting to High Elves, and that's not my highlight, because, you know, I would not make a video on High Elves be my highlight ever, probably. But there was something really funny that happened when I was preparing footage for this, where I created a new normal elf, highest of the high, and made my way through the starter instance. And, you know, they did say that they revamped Hunter DPS. I believe them, because I might have killed the trainer elf that you're not supposed to kill. And I might have also gotten XP for said killing. And so my first XP was killing the elf that was supposed to train me. So I have no idea from, like, a psychological perspective what that means for my character moving forward. But that was interesting. Also, I recorded a champion roundtable with Lotro Academy, and that will be coming out in the nearest future if it hadn't gotten messed up. But I did re-record a thing last night with Brannick, where we actually went over the Redline stuff, and I think that'll make it into the champion roundtable recording. And then also there'll be a bonus episode later that'll have our entire discussion, I think. And we actually had more recording troubles on that recording, and so there's some really funny audio where I can hear Brannick, he can't hear me, and there's some interesting stuff that happens there, and that's all I'm going to say. Hopefully he'll leave that in the final edited down thing. But go ahead, Bunny.
Okay, for the champion episode you're talking about?
Yeah, the champion roundtable.
Oh, the champion roundtable. Okay.
Yep. And then also, I toured a cool fan house on the beta server that had redesigned their home now that hooks can be moved around. And they did just a fantastic job on this house, and it looks amazing. And there's a video of that on my YouTube channel if anybody's interested. But I was blown away by what they did with their house.
I saw that. It looked so funny. You could throw things in the next room.
Yeah, you can move things all the way into a different... Pretty cool. Carve, what have you been up to?
Just thinking about how crazy it'll be to now have, like, a psychedelic house with chairs sticking out of walls and stuff. Actually, not really. I totally lost my train of thought. I know what I did. I survived Goblin Town again. This time I decided to quest most of the way through, which was really cool. And as I was playing through, I caught something in the dialogue that made me stop live on stream and go, whoa, wait a minute now. Did he just say what I thought he just said? There's a spot in there where the elf says, oh, let's go check on that dwarf prisoner. So I'm like, all right, cool. So we go up to the lair where the dwarf prisoner is, and there's no dwarf there. And he goes, oh, she's gone. And I said, wait a minute. Did he just say she is gone? Because I've done that quest several times before, but I never noticed that there was a female pronoun there. And I'm like, there was a hint of a female dwarf in this prison, and I wasn't able to rescue her. That's a travesty. That is a travesty. She's gone. But I was just like, oh, snap. No, they didn't. Oh, those tricky writers. But that was kind of a revelation I had this morning. I was like, whoa, what's up with that? So now I'm going to have to get another character and do that quest again and pay more attention to the dialogue this time. Then we took the big warning and we blasted through chapter 6 of Volume 1 in Epic and Angmar. Did that right before the show, actually, and then I moved into 4KL to finish up my leveling on my Bayorning for my free-to-play stream until about level 50 or so, and then I'll probably go back to Angmar and just wreck all those fools because I'm over level. And that was about what happened this week. How about you, Terry Edwin?
You didn't say you just blew through something on your Bayorning, did you? Because I heard a rumor that somebody said that Bayornings are underpowered and need to be fixed.
I guess it depends on the context. In on level content, as you're leveling, I was regularly pulling 4 or 5 mobs and wrecking them down. And actually, Aerithert popped into my stream for a while, and he said, "Man, that Bjorning AOE is ridiculous." And I'm like, "Well, I'm purposefully auto critting on them, so yeah, it is." But if you get to a Bjorning at endgame, from what I understand, they're nowhere near as awesome.
They're still overpowered for balls. Anyway, I got Terry Fluffs out in the moors, and she's now 72% of the way to rank 8, which is 3% more than she was.
There you go.
It's a very, very slow crawl. And then ran some tier 2 duo skirms, actually in a duo for once, with Sans Winda. And then we decided to try the 3-man tier 1 and tier 2 of Storm on Methodros and didn't die either time.
Yeah, trying and succeeding.
Well, we did lose a drummer on the tier 2, and so we didn't get to get Gwillion, but we did just fine on the tier 1, like, play through it.
So you're sad you didn't get to beat up an old lady?
Yeah, that old lady needs to die.
Well, she is bad.
She's an evil old woman.
She is. Very evil.
So, and then that's it for me because I had some more technical difficulties that I'm not going to talk about. Prileaf, how was your week? Or Cena, I guess. Cena has her name in here, but she doesn't actually have anything.
Well, I haven't put anything in the notes actually because I missed this section. But what I've been doing this past week, especially when I was running on the official Locho stream, was I've been gathering people and doing deeds for mounts, doing meta deeds.
Awesome.
Because I realized, oh hey, I can get more mounts if I do this. And this is like low level content, so we can just, I could solo it if I want to, but it's like 10 times more fun to do if we do it in a group. So I ended up gathering up a bunch of kinnies, and we did the Savior of Eriador, which gives us the Dunedain Greatsteed.
Oh, that's cool.
That is a pretty, pretty horse.
That is a really cool horse.
The week before that, we also did get the Wild Mountain Goat from doing all the instances and stuff in Moria, which is a lot of fun. I really love the Moria instances. When I did them, I remembered back to the times when we actually did them, when that was the max level. And it's a little bit easier now.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous because both of those steeds are really cool. But those are like the ones for finishing like the Rift and for finishing like Dar Nargobed and stuff, right?
Yeah, so yeah. You just need to get your character up on Evernight and we'll pull you through.
I tell you what, man, I've got one there. I can't remember what level he is. I might have to dust him off.
If he's 45, we can pull you through. Won't be the last time we do it, so.
I'll have to check.
Yeah, I've been playing a little outro this week, but not as much as I would like to. I've been craving a lot of different games this week, but I'm looking forward to going back to it tomorrow. Probably going to do some skirmishes or maybe find some more meta deeds. I need to check the list and see which ones I'm missing, because I'm all for hunting those mounts. My list is long, but it's not finished, so I have, like, Talarian to look up to, so I better work.
I know. This morning he was counting how many mounts, and I think him and Sam Burke got into a mount off. Like, who's got more mounts? It was, I mean, literally, I'm thinking over 100.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, on one account, or one character, I was like, oh my gosh.
I think he mentioned he had all except, like, 3 or something.
Yeah, it was like, ridiculous.
Excluding all the Lotro store-bought mounts.
Yep.
It's crazy.
That's exactly what Gussie said in chat. It's crazy. It's like, I don't have a few mounts. I have a whole horse farm.
But it's so cool, though. I'm also, like, one of those people that love to run through games and do, like, I'm an achievement hunter. Mm. I love to do achievements. If I can have a stamp on my character that says, oh, yeah, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this, you have nothing left to complete, then I feel good about myself. I've spent an enormous amount of time on a video game, but still. Makes me feel nice.
I got all the stickers. My book is full.
Yep. I'm like a Girl Scout collecting those badges. The deeds are awesome, though. I love the fact that there are so many of them, and you can choose what kinds of deeds you want to do as well. And the instance ones are really cool, because you get to experience old content, because there is still a reward for you to pick up there. I would probably not do the Moria instances that many times if I did not know there was a reward waiting for me at the end that I could actually use as a max level.
True. That's a good point. That's a cool looking goat too.
It is. They are really cool. I figured out that I had a few of them already, so I'm gonna have to do a checklist and check which ones I have. The first one that I consciously did was the Eriador horse, going through all the reputations.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a long time ago. and it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is.
How about you, Pine Leaf?
All right, I will begin with my Arkenstone captain, which I brushed off my captain, and I reached level 101 on that character, and I did the same for my Bjorning on Creek Hollow. Brushed off the character, got things set up, did imbuement, got all that stuff working, and then ran enough content to get to 101.
Pine Leaf, did you use the same brush for the captain as you did the Bjorning? Because that's kind of gross if you did.
They're on two different servers, so I couldn't use the same brush.
There you go.
Fair enough.
Well
Fair
played, enough. Pine Leaf.
And fantastic. Now, this next one, Terry Adwin will probably call a low light. And that is that I was running my champion through Eivindim. And this is one of my video series, and I was doing the bounty quest where you're supposed to get the goblin friend and going through the goblin camp there. And you have this goblin sleeping next to him. You've got the wolf that's with the goblin friend. Then you got goblin friend himself, who's a signature. So I go into there seeing if I can get to the sleeping goblin first. Of course, since his friend... goblin friend there comes up and of course bashes me. So I got the wolf, the goblin, all that. I thought, okay, let's take out the trash first. No, but I'm being pounded upon. And eventually I decided there was only one thing I can do. I used sprint to run away.
You ran away?
Yep, I ran away.
What kind of champion are you?
A live champion.
But I came
to run away.
It's do or die, man. You go down swinging.
Well, in my case, I decided to run away. Then afterwards, I recovered and all that stuff, went back in, had my revenge on them, and eventually did finish that quest. But yeah, I ran.
You sprint to run toward the enemies, not away.
Well, I've been known to use it in both directions. Christina, do you have anything else you wish to add?
I don't think so. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. My nerves have calmed down a bit now, so...
when your nerves calm down, you start to speak with a Norwegian accent.
I could, if you want me to. No, I think I'll try to stick to a fairly understandable level.
Okay.
I'm not like, you know, that racing guy, that Norwegian racing guy. He's he has this saying where he says, it's not the fart that kills you, it's the smell. And fart means speed and smell means like slam. So it's actually a legit Norwegian English.
That's fantastic.
Hopefully I'm not that bad. Anyway.
Now, who's that supposed to be? Rosberg, or is that somebody?
His name?
Yeah.
I've gone and done a brain fart, so I don't know. Oh, yeah.
All right. Hey.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming
good luck
on.
Ending.
Thank you.
Our top supporter is Onishi, who is an officer of the Sons of Numenor on Langeville. We currently have 22 supporters on Patreon. If you'd like to join this illustrious raid of players and help support Lotra players, simply go to the donations page where you can support the Players Alliance on Patreon. There you'll find rewards, including a mention on the podcast of your choice, or even be a guest with us here for an episode of Lotra Players News. This week, we did not receive any emails, but if you'd like to send us one, you can send it to podcast@lotraplayers.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, The Players Alliance at Players Ally, Lotra Players at Lotra Players, Ending at Ending LP, Forte at Forte _ Maestro, Carvette at Carvette LP, Maven at Tolkien Maven, Pineleaf at Pineleaf Needles, and Terry Adwin at Terry Adwin. And you could also follow our guest, Stine, at...
Are we Twitter or our Twitch
yep.
now?
All of the above.
Stina plays everywhere.
Okay. At Stina Plays, then.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yes. The Players Alliance has 4 live shows every Monday at 8:30 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time. We have DDO Players News. Every Thursday at 9 p.m.-ish U.S. Eastern Time, we have XP Quest. Every Saturday at 8:30 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, we have Lotro Players News. And on the last Friday of each month at 8:30 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, we have Lotro Academy After School. You can join us for our live shows at lotroplayers.com/live. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is Pine Leaf Mules reminding you to skirmish responsibly.